I'm David Hendricks, and I'm glad that you're part of this class. I hope that you'll have the joy of being a part of a church plant at some time in your ministry. In fact, I hope you get to experience the thrill of seeing a new church get started many times. In introducing this course on church planting, I want to begin by describing a celebration where I was delighted to participate. We literally had to drive through a flash flood to get there, but I wouldn't have missed the occasion for anything. I would have paddled a canoe, if necessary, to get there. If you've taken the course on mentoring, where I tell about coaching a church planter, you can imagine my delight that when the day arrived for the regional overseer and other pastors to go to the new church to ordain the pastor and to say to his church, "You've done it. You're on your own now. Be fruitful and multiply." Well, you can imagine the feeling was like being a new grandparent and getting to ooh and ah over the new baby. The worship service really was a celebration. A worship band of musicians the church planter had gathered. It was quite a change from when the worship band had been a one-man band, the church planter playing guitar by himself. At this service, he sat in the congregation with his wife, and another person led worship. A worship leader he had recruited and trained and turned over that person the responsibilities of leading worship. Of the six people in the band, only one was an original member of the band the church planter had started with, the drummer, his 17-year-old son. Well, the son will be going off to college soon, so another drummer will need to be recruited. But that's how it goes in church planting. Constant turnover, constant recruiting, constant training and deploying and monitoring. The regional overseer preached from 2 Timothy 4 about preaching the word in season and out of season. And then I shared from Philippians 1:3-6 about continuing to lift up the pastor in prayer. I have to admit I got rather choked up as I shared. It had been my privilege to begin the journey with my friend as he asked my advice about what to do with these people he'd gathered in a home group. It was a home group of a church 50 miles away that he and his family had attended for many years, and when they'd moved farther away, they'd just driven a little bit farther. He had won people to Christ and discipled them and cared for them, but few of them had been willing to make the long drive on Sunday mornings for worship. They saw the home group on Monday nights as their church, and they did not have a connection with the senior pastor or other people at the church so far away. They wanted their own church, a place where they could invite their friends. And his home church was in the midst of a building program and not in a position to sponsor a new church. Well, knowing my friend for many years and knowing his commitment to Jesus and his heart for people, I made him an offer that made no sense for him to accept. All I could offer was my friendship and the umbrella of our church. No money, no people, no resources. Just my belief in God's call on his life and my willingness to sponsor him in church planting by putting in a good word for him with the regional church planting committee. He brought his family and the three or four other families who had been in the home group to visit our church one Easter, an hour and a half away. And we had a meal together at our house afterwards and an egg hunt for the kids. And the church was off and running, starting a new church in a fast-growing suburban area. Well, in the 3 years in between, I visited the church on different occasions, preaching at one of the first services in a public school where they transformed the lunchroom into a place for worship. At that time, the worship team had consisted of the church planter playing guitar and another guy on guitar, an auto mechanic I had met years before at another church. Definitely don't quit your day job, buddy, and a visibly nervous young female singer. From there, the church moved to what had been a daycare center. A big yellow house that shared space with the dentist's office. But it was their starter home. It was a place where they could hang a sign out front and where they began to attract new people. One couple who started attending had been out for an evening walk and noticed the sign and decided to visit. They were new to town, employees of a missions organization. Well, they brought seasoned discipleship to the church plant that was now beginning to see new lives won for the kingdom of God. At the ordination service, as I shared about praying for their pastor, I asked for a show of hands as to when people came aboard. Was it in the original home group? Was it at the school? Was it at the yellow house? Was it here? Well, here, now for them, is in a strip shopping center, a storefront where several other churches used to get started in that community. It's a good location. It's on a busy street. It's across from a large shopping area. Well, they've got a big sign on the marquee now. And they're in the process of renovating the the storefront next door for additional space for a children's center. The pastor, who had served as master of ceremonies for the ordination service, did something I had not seen before at an ordination service. After hands were laid on the church planter and after prayers had been offered, the MC pastor asked, "Who would like to offer words of blessing or encouragement to this pastor and his wife?" Well, I wish you could have been there. It's what church planting is all about. As person after person gave testimony about what it had meant to them to be there, part of a dynamic new church. "We moved here," one woman said. "We moved here and really didn't want to go to church anywhere. We'd gotten pretty beat up at the last place, but decided to check it out and decided to stay because it felt like home." Someone else said, "My wife and I were in the home group that met on Monday nights, and I can't begin to describe how happy I am to see what's happened." Another person said, "We'd been in a big church before moving here and really didn't think we wanted to be in a small startup church, but we weren't too sure, and we certainly weren't too sure about a pastor who'd never been a pastor before. But this is where we feel the Lord wants us. And Sam, well, he's doing just fine as a pastor." Someone else said, "I'd really gotten far away from the Lord, and when my friend invited me to the Alpha course, I didn't want to go, but I'm still here." And then someone said, "I was at the bookstore the night the church went Christmas caroling. I didn't know it was a whole church at the time, but saw these people Christmas caroling, heard how much fun they were, saw how much fun they were having, decided to check it out, and been here ever since." And on, as the people who had first visited and then decided that this fledgling church plant was their church home. They've given, they've invited, they've worked hard, and now, like the Carpenter's whole song, they've only just begun. Well, that's what church planting is all about. A dream in someone's heart. Here it began with a home group leader saying, "What should I do with these people who want to start a church?" And sometimes a dream starts with denominational officials who want to expand their denomination into a new region and want to start a church. There'll be a mother church for many new churches. Sometimes a dream starts with a missionary who leaves all the comforts of home to go to a totally different environment and shares the gospel in order to raise up native believers who will plant churches. Sometimes the dream starts with a couple who look around and say, "There's not a church around here for," and fill in the blank, people like this would feel comfortable attending. Literally, fill in the blank. Young people? Is it bikers? Is it cowboys? The churches have started for the purpose of going after particular groups of people. And the kingdom of God expands because of some people who took a risk. And sometimes, like young couples who felt God wanted them to try something new and different, they just set out to start a new church. Bob and Arvella did that, pulling a trailer with a Wurlitzer organ on it from Chicago to Orange County, California. The only place they could find for a worship service was at a drive-in movie theater, where Bob preached from the roof of the refreshment stand to people in their cars. And the Schulers, Robert and Arvella, saw the beginning of Garden Grove Community Church, now known as the Crystal Cathedral, Garden Grove, California. And the Hybels did that at Willow Creek, and the Warrens at Saddleback Valley. And now my friends, Sam and Mary Jean, have done it too. And I'm the proud grandfather. Well, sorry, I don't have any cigars to pass around to celebrate the birth of this new church. Instead, with the help of the textbooks for this course and the material provided by Ed Stetzer and the Nehemiah Project, I want to pass along encouragement and information about this vital ministry called church planting. In these sessions we're going to investigate this matter of church planting. And like any good reporter, we're going to ask those why, who, what, where, how, and when questions. And along the way, I will also share candidly about my own struggles in getting a new church to grow. I have participated in church planting in 3 different cities, and as a home group leader in another church plant, and as the pastor of a church that was started by another pastor. Well, for over 20 years, I've been involved in church planting in different levels of participation. I can probably say more about what not to do than can point to "try this, it really works." I'm emboldened in this opportunity to share about church planting with the awareness that not all good coaches were outstanding players themselves. It's interesting how some Hall of Fame managers hardly had a cup of coffee in the big leagues before they were sent back to the minors. And some really good pitching coaches never got to throw a single pitch from a major league pitching mound. So in this course, with the guidance of an expert like Ed Stetzer and the Nehemiah Project folks, I hope to help you in your church planting efforts, either as church planter or as a sending pastor or as church planting team member or as a prayer partner. It's all about seeing your new church grow and flourish. One more personal reflection before addressing the topic of why plant new churches. The first Christmas after we started in the new church in Nashville, Tennessee, this was back in the last century, back in 1985, we had our first Christmas party as a new church. We weren't quite as far along as our friends were when they launched their church. We were still at the home Bible study and getting to know people stage. And after 12 years of being a pastor of long-established churches, it had been my first occasion to go out and get a secular job, and we were just barely getting by. Our daughter was 3 years old, and we knew that gift-giving-wise, it was going to be a rather bare under the Christmas tree type of time. But we got everybody together for a Christmas celebration at our house, a fellowship meal where everyone had been asked to bring something. Well, when we spread all the food out on our dining room table, all we had were pies. It seems that everyone had stopped at the local grocery store and had bought pies, mostly pumpkin pies. We had a honey-baked ham a woman in California had sent us because a group of us had gone to the hospital and prayed for her mother. So we had ham and pie, lots of pie. Well, we started opening up whatever cans of corn and beans we had in our own meager cupboard and added that to the spread. We had forgotten that our previously unchurched friends didn't know about church potlucks and the green bean casseroles and seven-layer cakes that people are supposed to make from scratch and bring to the church dinner. But we had a good time that night, even went Christmas caroling in the neighborhood. One of the neighbors came out and offered us a $5 bill. We didn't know if he was paying us to leave or what. And as we got back to our house and as we were singing some more, I looked around the room and realized that everyone there was a new friend. We had not known any of these people even 6 months before, and that each new friend had come into our lives in special ways. There was David and Karen and their three daughters. I'd met him at a pastor's prayer meeting. It was the only one of those meetings that I got to attend before I started working full-time at my secular job. Well, David was there because he wanted the pastors to pray about a new Christian magazine that he wanted to start. Well, we met and found we had a lot in common, and they started coming to our home group. Don was there, a recently widowed older man. His wife had died of cancer, and when we offered a workshop on praying for the sick, he came to the workshop. He said he'd wished he'd known had known how to pray for his wife when she was sick, but he had found through her illness that he had a lot of compassion for sick people. He and I often worked together as volunteers at a local hospital where we passed out magazines and offered to pray for people. And Howard was there. Howard was a college student. His mother had attended the same workshop that Don had attended, and she told Howard about our group when he came home from school. Well, Howard would drop by late at night with his college friends. He attended a university 3 hours away. Those kids would go out for donuts and drive 100 miles. You know, we told them we'd been having car trouble, and they went out and laid hands on our Cavalier station wagon. Lori was there. Lori was our first worship leader. Now, in Music City, USA, you would think it would be easy to find worship leaders, but we had a hard time finding a guitar player for our home group. Lori offered what she had, a mastery of three songs and good-hearted attempts on others. To this day, when I hear the song, "As the Deer Pants for Streams of Water," I think of Lori. Lori was a microbiology student at Vanderbilt going for her PhD degree. And when she came our way, she came our way because of a little community calendar item that she saw in the Nashville Banner newspaper. Dell and Norman were there. And Dell is the woman several of us had prayed for at the hospital. She had a brain tumor and was numb on the left side of her body, but after prayer she had felt sensation on her left side for the first time since her surgery. It was the first time most of the group had met Dell, but they'd been praying for her. And Norman was a songwriter and played a Christmas song on our piano that he'd written. "Ring, ring, ring the bells," the song meant, I think. Well, it was a room full of people, new friends who had also become friends even though we, my wife Nancy and I, were the common link and had not known any of these people before that Christmas. Well, I treasure that memory. God had brought those people into our lives, and we were grateful. Now, there's a church in Nashville with the name of the church that we started, but it's not the same church. Another pastor has successfully seen a harvest where we only saw hard ground and we attempted to plow. After 2.5 years of trying to get the church to grow, we abandoned ship. Could say we left town in a blaze of glory as the Ryder truck with all our earthly belongings caught fire a block from our old house. It was a small fire. It was a spark that hit some grease on the transmission or something, and a neighbor ran out with a dishpan of water and put the fire out. But anyway, we found church planting from scratch without any outside means of support to be very difficult. No excuses, and I'm grateful for every lesson we learned and every blessing that came our way. But there are other ways to church plant than the way we've tried, one small family attempting to start something from scratch. We'll discuss some of those other ways, with a team, with support from a sending church, as a church within a church. And in spite of our frustrations and failures, this course will also look at what it takes to be a pioneer and set off on the adventure of a lifetime. Regrets? Sure. But am I glad we tried? Absolutely. Did we miss God by going to do it? I don't think so. Could I have learned what I want to share with you any other way? I don't think so. Would I recommend church planting to others? Absolutely. But first, take this course. Just kidding. I do wish that material like this had been available when we set out to church plant. But it was not available then, as very few people were talking about church planting, much less writing books or offering courses on the subject. In fact, as a pastor, I had only known of one new church plant where the denomination that I was raised in brought in a consultant who had researched the area and recommended where to buy land, and church members from 3 churches who had moved to that area of town came to an exploratory meeting at our church, and from there a new church began with 200 people on the first Sunday and with a guaranteed first year's salary for the pastor. Now, that didn't sound too risky to me. I was the youth and education pastor at that first church out of seminary, and I recall some of our church members being glad at the sending forth service, because in the sending forth were some people considered troublemakers. So bless ye and be gone with ye. But that's a model for church planting as well, clustering together to establish a new church. And that church has grown rapidly. And the so-called troublemakers have become leaders in that church. It seems that instead of being troublemakers, they were just needing ways to express their giftedness and have kept bumping against the layer of bureaucracy in the old church. Then there's the church that got started when 30 people, the church planter and his family, and 30 people moved from California to Florida to start a new church. But there's time for that story later on in another session. See, there's a story behind every new church plant. Could it be that you're taking this course to prepare you for your own story of church planting? Well, to God be the glory. Again, thank you for registering for this class. I look forward to sharing this information with you. Look forward to seeing your responses in terms of module submissions and projects that you'll be involved in. And so God bless you, and thank you for being a part of this course.